Shri Bhishma Uvacha.
Shri Bhishma Uvacha.
Shri Bhishma Dev said.
Shri Bhishma Dev said.
Iti thus.
Thus.
Matihi. Thinking, feeling, and willing.
Thinking, feeling, and willing.
Upakalpita.
Upakalpita.
Invested. Vitrishna.
Vitrishna.
Freed from all sense desires.
Freed from all sense desires.
Bhagavati. Unto the personality of Godhead.
Sattvatapungave. Sattvatapungave.
Unto the leader of the devotees.
Vibhunni. Vibhunni.
Unto the great. Sukham,
Swasukham,
self-satisfaction.
Upagate,
unto he who has attained it.
Quachit,
sometimes.
Biharatam,
out of transcendental pleasure.
Prakritim,
in the material world.
Upayushi,
to accept it.
Yad bhava,
from whom the creation Pravaha
is made and annihilated.
Translation: Bhishma Dev said, let me now invest my thinking, feeling, and willing, which were so long engaged in different subjects and occupational duties, in the all-powerful Lord Sri Krishna. He is always self-satisfied, but sometimes, being the leader of the devotees, he enjoys transcendental pleasure by descending on the material world, although from him only the material world is created. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada. Because Bhishma Dev was a statesman, the head of the Kuru dynasty, a great general and a leader of Kshatriyas, his mind was strewn over so many subjects, and his thinking, feeling, and willing were engaged in different matters. Now, in order to achieve pure devotional service, he wanted to invest all powers of thinking, feeling, and willing entirely in the Supreme Being, Lord Krishna. He is described here as the leader of the devotees and all-powerful. Although Lord Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, he himself descends on earth to bestow upon his pure devotees the boon of devotional service. He descends sometimes as Lord Krishna, as he is, and sometimes as Lord Chaitanya. Both are leaders of the pure devotees. Pure devotees of the Lord have no desire other than the service of the Lord, and therefore they are called sattvata. The Lord is the chief amongst such sattvatas. Bhishma Dev, therefore, had no other desires. Unless one is purified from all sorts of material desires, the Lord does not become one's leader. Desires cannot be wiped out, but they have only to be purified. It is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita by the Lord himself that he gives his instruction from within the heart of a pure devotee who is constantly engaged in the service of the Lord. Such instruction is given not for any material purpose, but only for going back home, back to Godhead. Bhagavad Gita 10:10. For the ordinary man who wants to lord it over material nature, the Lord not only sanctions and becomes a witness of activities, but he never gives the non-devotee instructions for going back to Godhead. That is the difference in dealings by the Lord with different living beings. As both the devotee and the non-devotee, he is the leader of all the living beings, as the king of the state rules both the prisoners and the free citizens. But his dealings are different in terms of devotee and non-devotee. Non-devotees never care to take any instruction from the Lord, and therefore the Lord is silent in their case, although he witnesses all their activities and awards them the necessary results, good or bad. The devotees are above this material goodness and badness. They are progressive on the path of transcendence, and therefore they have no desire for anything material. The devotee also knows Sri Krishna as the original Narayan, because Lord Shri Krishna, by his plenary portion, appears as the Karano Dakshay Vishnu, the original source of all material creation. The Lord also desires the association of his pure devotees, and for them only the Lord descends on earth and enlivens them. The Lord appears out of his own will, and he is not forced by the conditions of material nature. He is therefore described here as the Vibhu, or the Almighty, for he is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. Sri Bhishma Uvacha Iti Matir Upakalpita Vitrishnam Bhagavati Satpata Pungave Vibhumni Svasukam Upagate Kvachit Vihartum Prakritim Upayushi Yad Bhava Pravaha Om Gyana Tumirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshubh Militam Dina Tasmai Shri Guru Vimaha. So, Sri Bhishma Dev, one of the great authorities, transcendental knowledge, is describing how the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original source of everything, is Lord Krishna, and he has his own abode. But he sometimes comes to planet Earth. Not only planet Earth, but he sometimes visits many planets in the universe. Just as a king sometimes visits the different prisons within his jurisdiction. Or the president may come to the prison. Why does he come? Is he under the laws of the state? Is he forced to go there? Do the policemen come and say, okay, Your Majesty, now we're putting you in prison? Is he being put there by any agents? No. He's going there of his own free will, out of his kindness, to encourage the prisoners to become better citizens. In the same way, Krishna comes, Maya, Atma Maya. He comes by his own potency. He's not forced by anyone else. Mayadakshena Pakriti Suyate Sacharachara. He states in the Bhagavad Gita that the material energy is working under his direction. That means he's not under nature. Everything is under the control of nature. Daivihyesha Gunamayi Mamamaya Duratya. No one can get out of the boundaries of nature. What are the symptoms of nature? Birth. In nature we see that living beings take birth and then they grow for some time. Then they produce offspring. They maintain. Then they dwindle and ultimately they die. This is the nature of all living creatures in this material world, from trees, from ants, to humans, and even demigods. That is one aspect of nature. That is, of course, the most prominent aspect, that everything here is very temporary. Anicca sukham lokam. Anicca means it's not eternal, and asukha means it's not happy. We see that ultimately living entities in the material world are not happy. You can look at any one of them you like. They're all struggling. Karshati. Struggling for existence. They have even a saying, struggle for existence. The humans are struggling for existence. But even if you look at the animals, they're not happy. The birds are, they're able to fly, but as soon as they land somewhere, they're always worried that some predator may come and eat them. And the insects may seem happy as they fly around and walk here and there, but at any moment they can be eaten up by so many different creatures, reptiles and birds and things. So that means they're in anxiety because they know that. They know instinctively that they're in danger. They're in a dangerous place. Otherwise, why do birds, when they're eating, why are they looking all around? Why do the squirrels, why are they so frightened when they come down to get a nut? They know that at any moment, some creature may come and swallow them up. That's nature. Fear is part of nature. Death. Jiva, jiva, sajiva. One living entity lives at the cost of another. There's no happiness here. There may appear to be happiness. So what is that happiness? That happiness is just the momentary cessation of the miseries. Like if a person is wearing shoes four sizes too small. So it's very painful. He's walking around and he's simply groaning. And then if someone says, "Here, I'm going to give you some bliss," and he helps him take off those shoes that are too small. So the man, he's very happy. He says, "Oh, how wonderful. This is so blissful now to have these shoes off." But actually, it's only relative to the fact that he was suffering unnecessarily. Now he thinks that to get the shoes off is bliss. But that's not real bliss. Real bliss means some positive engagement for the living entity. So in the material world, actually, what we consider to be happiness is just for a few moments we forget about the distress and we think that's happiness. When the shoes that are too small are taken off, we think that is great pleasure. Actually, it's not real pleasure. Again, the example is given of a criminal who's punished. Formerly, they used to tie the criminals to a chair. And so he'd be sitting there, and they had a way of lowering him. It would dunk him into the water, so his head would be totally under the water in some river. So his head would be underwater. Of course, he has to hold his breath, and they keep him under there for a very long time until his lungs have almost burst. And then they bring him up. This is a punishment. And they bring him up, and for the moment when he's brought up, he gasps for air. He breathes, and he's thinking, "Oh, this is so nice. I'm getting to breathe." But breathing is normal. Breathing is natural. He thinks that it's great, it's so nice, because he's been in an unnatural situation. That unnatural situation where he was forced not to breathe. So now that he can breathe, he's thinking it's wonderful. But then in the next moment, he's put down again under the water. That's their punishment. They keep doing this. So that is material nature. Everyone is forced. Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, dukkha, dosha, darshana. One who's intelligent, he understands these miseries of birth, death, old age, and disease. And then there's other miseries also. The adibhautika miseries, adhyatmika miseries, and adidaivika miseries. Miseries inflicted by other living entities. Those inflicted by myself, and those inflicted by natural disturbances, such as too much heat, hurricanes, earthquakes, etc. So this is nature. But Krishna is not under the nature. Those things do not affect him. When God comes, he is the master of nature. He's the master of the one who gives the hurricanes. The hurricanes are not going to affect Krishna because he is controlling the persons who are controlling the hurricanes. They cannot affect him. The wardens in a prison are very much abhorred by the prisoners. They don't like the wardens. The warden comes in and pokes his cane through the bars and sticks the man and says, here, stand over here, move here, get down. The criminals, they don't like the wardens. They don't like the cells. They don't like the food. They don't like anything there. But when Krishna comes there, he doesn't eat that food. He doesn't have to stay in the cell. The wardens don't poke him. He's completely free. He comes out of his own free will. And there's a complete difference. Total difference. Because he's not bound up by those laws. So one who understands this, janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvata chakvadeham punar janma naiti mami tu sarjana. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he declares, that anyone who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon giving up this material body, take his birth again in the material world, but he attains to my eternal abode. Just by understanding that. Avajananti ma mudha. But the fools cannot understand. They think that, oh, he's just an ordinary human being. Yes, they think, oh, he's come. He's a human. He's like us. Why? Because he has two hands. He has a head. So he must be human. And humans must have material bodies. Avajananti ma mudha. Mudha means fool. Manushim tunam ashitam. They don't understand. They think that he's taken on a material body like everyone else. But there's quite a difference. We're born, first of all, we're born according to our karma. We take birth in this material world or this particular body according to our past activities. We're awarded a particular mother and a particular father, a particular body. And it, after having stayed in the womb for 9 months of agonizing pain. It's not a very pleasant situation to be in an airtight bag, very hot, gastric juices, unpleasant smells, with the head bowed forward, cannot move, is lying there. And then if the mother smokes cigarettes or some other things, and you have to breathe that, and if she eats any hot, spicy things, you have to, then it hurts the poor skin, the sensitive skin of the child. And there's bugs inside the abdomen. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yes, there's bugs there. There's all kinds of worms and other kinds of living creatures that are eating. They also need to eat, so they like to eat the body of the child. Just as here outside we have mosquitoes and ants and others that spiders that like to take our blood. So inside also there's living entities who live there and they like to take. So it's a very painful situation. And finally after 9 months of torture, the living entity sometimes prays to God. He sometimes gets some realization of his real position. And he prays to God, please, if you let me out, I promise I'll never act against your instructions again. But sure enough, when he comes out, the shock of birth shock, is so overwhelming that, and he comes out into the world crying. Why is he crying? You don't see babies come out smiling and very happy. They're always crying, covered with blood and other unpleasant substances. This is how we came into this body. Totally ignorant, totally unhappy. And then we learn to suffer. We learn to tolerate the suffering. But when Krishna appears, we don't hear that he appeared with blood all over his body. He came out fully dressed, fully grown, very beautiful, with effulgent saffron cloth, jewels upon his arms and on his neck. His hair was very beautiful, known as Keshava. Full-grown black hair, wearing a crown, peacock feather. This is how he appeared. So there's a difference between our appearance. But the fools, the mudhas, they overlook all that. They think, well, he's a person, I'm a person, he must be material, I'm material. So they limit him, they put him down on their level. They bring him down to the mundane level. And these persons are very offensive. Abhajananti mamudha manushyam taramashito parambhavam ajanato. They do not know my transcendental. Parambhavam means my transcendental nature. Parambhavam ajanato mama bhuta maheshwaram, and my supreme dominion over all living entities, over everything. They do not know. They're in ignorance. So, there is one. This verse is quoted here as a footnote. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitanano eko bahunam yovididati kama kata upanishad. There are millions of living entities, unlimited living entities, and they're all eternal. So yes, we're eternal, God is eternal. And that way we're equal. We're persons, he's a person. Yes. We have senses, yes, he has senses. So then we're the same? No. What is the difference? Nityo nityana. There's one living entity who's maintaining all the other living entities. That's the difference. We're all eternal, but one maintains all the others. Like in a family. If there are 10 children, but the father, he maintains all the children. So the children, they're also living beings, but still the father is maintaining them all. His position is unique. So in that way, Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be understood, and we should not be envious of him. Anasuyave, the devotee is known as Anasuyave. He's never envious of Krishna. He doesn't try to take his position or minimize. Now we have the scientists and the scholars. They're very expert in trying to minimize the position of Krishna. Although the scriptures say he lifted Govardhan Hill, he killed so many demons, he performed so many wonderful feats, they say it is all mythology. Because they cannot do it. They cannot accomplish such things. And they don't know anyone who can, so they don't believe it. They say, well, it's not possible. How can it be possible for one person to do that? It must be mythology. Actually, they have no idea how powerful the personality of God it is. They don't really have any faith in God. So, still, the Lord, out of his causeless mercy, descends. That is called avatar. Avatar means one who descends. He comes down to the material world just to, why? Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya traduskutam. Dhamma samstapanartaya sambhuvami yuge yuge. To annihilate the miscreants, to protect the devotees, and to reestablish religious principles. He comes. Those are some of the reasons. He also has other reasons for coming. He comes because he likes to come. Out of his causeless mercy, he likes to go and encourage the living entities to come back to home, back to Godhead. But when he comes by his own sweet will. He stays as long as he likes, and he leaves when he likes. And while he's here, he's not inflicted by old age. We never see a painting or a picture of Krishna where he's become very old with a gray beard or bald. No. He always looks young. Navayovana. We never see him looking older than a young boy of 20 years old. Why? Because that means material nature does not affect him. We never see Krishna unhappy. He's always blissful. Whereas in the material world, everyone's unhappy some of the time. But not Krishna. And no one could defeat Krishna. There were no warriors who could defeat. Even whole armies sometimes tried to fight against Krishna, and they were all defeated. The whole army. By himself, Krishna defeated him. Well, this is not normal. No one can do that. But Krishna could do it. Wherever he went, everyone was attracted to him. That's not, no one else is like that. Have you ever met anyone that attracted everyone? But Krishna was attracting everyone. In one way or another, either in love or in hate, but somehow or other he attracted everyone. And he spoke Bhagavad Gita, but Bhagavad Gita has remained. It's the oldest book on the planet, Bhagavad Gita, 5,000 years old, and still it's selling more now. It's selling more than ever before. More people are reading all over the world. Why? They're translating it into 50 languages, 60 languages. Why? Because his words are immortal. They're eternally fresh. It's not like someone else. He writes something, and then it becomes outdated, and then no one wants to hear it anymore. It becomes old-fashioned. Just like the old scientists now. Nobody likes to read the old scientists. Because their knowledge is imperfect. They speculated. They may have been a little clever. And they may have speculated some and gathered some information. But now that knowledge is considered obsolete. It wasn't perfect. And the knowledge now that's being given by the scientists in a few years will also be considered obsolete and imperfect. Nobody goes to read old science books. They want to read the latest science. Similarly, but in Krishna's book, Bhagavad Gita, it's old, supposedly. It's, by calculation of time, it's much older. But everyone's reading it. Why? Because the knowledge is perfect. Because God is perfect. So, now Bhishma Dev, who was a great Kshatriya and had really worked, you could say that Bhishma Dev was the most important personality of that time. He was the most responsible, and he went out of his way more than anyone else to make sure that the world was properly run for a very long time, for several generations. So in effect, he was the most important person on the planet for many, many years, because he kept the whole thing going, the leadership. And now, he's worked so hard at trying to establish, and it was his desire that Yudhisthira would actually take the throne. He wanted that. And finally that's happened now. The Pandavas have emerged victorious, and Bhishma Dev feels content that his desire has been fulfilled. Lord Krishna is there, all the great sages are there, and he's ready to leave now and go back to home, back to Godhead. He feels he did his task. Srila Prabhupada, many devotees have compared Srila Prabhupada's disappearance to that of Grandfather Bhishma. Because it was similar in that Prabhupada also could have remained if he wanted or left as he wanted. He was given that choice by Krishna to leave or stay. And as Bhishma Dev was a great warrior, so Srila Prabhupada also was a great warrior on behalf of Krishna, traveling all over the world. Who can even think of how many thousands of battlefields he preached on? Srila Prabhupada was preaching everywhere, wherever he went. So, now he's feeling satisfied and pleased with the Lord, and he's preparing himself to go back to Godhead. He wants to just concentrate on Krishna. This is the nature of a devotee. Oftentimes, devotees like to resort to Vrindavan Dham. On this planet, there is a place called Vrindavan. Gokula Vrindavan, and that is the place where Lord Krishna personally performed his pastimes. And so the devotees often, they like to go there, at least when they're going to give up their bodies. They like to leave from there. That is a very auspicious place to leave the body, because if one leaves his body there, then he goes back to Godhead, goes back to Vrindavan, because that is the Lord's holy dham. Srila Prabhupada also, after preaching all over the world, he went back to Vrindavan to leave his body, to show the example how, at the end, we should fully devote ourselves to thinking of Krishna. Of course, it's not that Srila Prabhupada was not thinking of Krishna before that. He was. Or Maharaj Parikshit, he was always thinking of Krishna, even as a king. And Bhishma Dev was always thinking of Krishna as a statesman. Still, to set the example for ordinary men, they show how at the time, at the last stage, Ante Narayana Smriti, how to remember the Lord at the last stage of life. And give up all other activities and just think of the Lord directly. Are there any questions? Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya.